We're doing the story of Hanukkah, what's called Megillat Antiochus, and we'll start again at the bottom of page 37, and we're up to the final round, right? The Greeks came in, and then the Jews chased them out. The Greeks came in a second time, and then the Jews chased them out. The Greeks came in a third time. Al zot yatzuv nematitya bayom hazeh ve'lachmu ba'amim ahem ve'yagu b'merig rav me'od. We're on page 38. So the sons of Matityahu, the Kohen Gadol, were blessed. And they went out to war after their father blessed them. And they were very successful fighting the Greeks. Vayareg mem Yehuda. And their general Yehuda got killed. So in this battle, now, the final battle against the Greeks, we begin, we're successful, and we lose. So when the sons of Matityahu saw that Yehuda was killed, Shavu vayvo laviyem, they returned and came to their father. So their father asked them, why'd you come back? They answered, they said, Yehuda was our general. If Yehuda's dead, it's like we're all finished. So Matityahu answered them. He said, "Ani etzei machem." He said, "If that's how you feel, I'm going out to war with you. I will fight the nations with you. Because we can't afford to lose. If we lose, then all of Israel is lost. We have to win. You guys have to take comfort and move forward." Now this is one of those very important themes that a person has to tell himself throughout his life. One of the reasons that people don't accomplish what they should accomplish in life is because people tell themselves, it doesn't matter, it's not such a big deal. We give ourselves a lot of slack. But if a person tells himself, yes, it does matter. Yes, it makes a very big deal. And if I do what I'm supposed to do, then it's going to matter big time. And if you want to know, I'm going to tell you just a point to remember. If there's a family tree, well, every one of you is the beginning of a family tree. And when you start a path, I remember when I was a child, our Rebbe told us this. He said, you take two lines and you draw them like this. It doesn't really matter if they're parallel. But when you take two lines and you draw them, and they're going to go for miles and miles, then if they're a little bit off, after a few miles, they're going to be a long way apart. So when we choose a path, we have to remember that we're starting a line that our family is going to go on. And when we build ourselves, the better we build ourselves in the time that we're studying in Machon Meir, and then as we move on from Machon Meir, we're starting a line. It makes a very big difference if that line is this way, or it's a little bit that way, or a little bit that way. It makes a big difference down the road. And one of the things we have to take to heart is our responsibility to ourselves, to our children, to our future generations, in making the right decisions, in setting things up right. We had a student here once who was doing great. And he said, my parents are pressuring me, I have to go back to Chutz Laretz. And I sat with him and I said, your parents are pressuring you, it's very nice, they want you next to them, I understand them. But you have to ask yourselves, where are your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, where are they going to be? You have a responsibility not only towards the upper part of the family tree, but the lower part. Where are you going to build your family? How are you going to build your family? So when Matityahu tells his children, we better win. There's no turning back. The people of Israel are relying on us. That's a line not only for the sons of Matityahu, that's a line for ourselves also. Your children are counting on you. Your grandchildren are counting on you. The future people of Israel are counting on you. We each have a certain responsibility, and our tradition is that every person has a role to play, and no one else can play your role. We each have moments in our life where we can be a very effective person for the future of the Jewish people. There are moments. There are moments. And very often those moments force us to live up to a certain part of our personality that's not so easy. If a person is a fighter, so it could be his challenge is going to be to be a pacifist. If a person's a pacifist, so his challenge might be to be a fighter. Look at Avraham Avinu. His whole life, he was fighting for peace. He was fighting for people not to slaughter their children for idols. And then the day comes where God tells him, take your own son and bring him up that mountain and slaughter him. So that ran against everything Avraham stood for his whole life. That was very hard. Yeah, our challenges in life are very often taking our positive traits and saying, now, will you know how to channel them right? When the right moment comes, will you know what to do with it? So we move back. So Matityahu tells his children, you got to win. There are no two options here. You must win. So Matityahu went out with his sons that day. And they fought the nations. So Hashem, the God of heavens, gave the mighty warriors of the nations in their hands. They were able to win and kill many of the army of the enemies. They were able to take down those who held swords, those who were pulling bows, be it the generals or the officers. There wasn't a remnant left. On the contrary, they fled out back into the sea. Elazar was especially skilled at killing the elephants. According to one opinion, he used to know how to sneak under the elephants. They had armor in the front, and he could sneak under and stick his spear in their stomach, and so he would kill the elephants one by one. And according to this version, he drowned in the feces of the elephants. There's another version that says that one time he was killing an elephant and it landed on him, and that's how he died. And when they came back from the war, they were looking, where's Elazar? And they couldn't find him, not among the alive and not among the dead. And later on they found him, that he had drowned in the feces of the elephants. The Jews rejoiced that their enemies were given in their hands. They burnt, they hang, they chased by sword the enemies. Uvagris harasham atetamo safuto beit Yisrael ba'esh, and Bagris, the wicked, who convinced his nation to follow paganism, was also burnt. When Antiochus heard that his army was defeated, nichnas b'sfina v'yanus l'mdinat hayam, he also fled. And once the rebellion in Israel succeeded, wherever Antiochus came, he got the nickname, the guy who ran away from the war. And rebellions started sprouting throughout the Greek Empire until he committed suicide and dumped himself into the sea. So now they've finished this victory against the Greeks. And the Jews came to the Beit HaMikdash, ve'ivnu ha'sharim ha'nishbarim. So they rebuilt the gates that had been broken. Ve'yiskiru ha'peratzot. They closed the breaches in the walls. Ve'taru ha'azara min ha'arugim u'min ha'tumot. They purified the courtyard from all those who were deceased and defiled. Remember, the Greeks had brought pigs into the Beit HaMikdash. They had done everything they could to destroy the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'yivakshu shemen zayit ladlika menorah ve'lo matzu. They searched for olive oil to light the menorah, and they couldn't find. They found one little flask that was sealed with the Kohen Gadol's seal. It was a secret flask from the days of Shmuel, from the before the days of the first Beit HaMikdash. We're holding in the middle of the second Beit HaMikdash era, and they found the flask which was sealed and kept from before the first Beit HaMikdash, from the days of Shmuel, before King Shlomo. So they knew that flask was pure. What is this flask? So this is the flask of oil that Yaakov Avinu had to anoint the rock, right? You remember Yaakov Avinu anointed the rock? He kept it. And it says they kept it and they held on to that flask. And then Shmuel, okay, but it doesn't say that here. It says that in a different medrash. Vayava kishur adlakat yom echad. There was enough oil there to light for one day. So the God of heaven, who placed his name in the Beit HaMikdash, blessed that oil, and they were able to light from it for 8 days. So that's why the Asmoneans took on the following tradition. They accepted the following tradition. They accepted the following prohibition. And the Jewish people agreed with them. What was it? Number one, to rejoice, to celebrate these 8 days of Hanukkah. Initially, they created Hanukkah to be a holiday like the holidays of Torah. Uladlik bem nerot, and to light candles on Hanukkah. Doesn't say how much. Light candles. Lodia letzeitzeim achem she'osalem eloyah shemaim nitzuchim. To let the future generations know that they had victories in this time. What candles? Doesn't say what candles. But it does say that when there were decrees not to circumcise children, when there were decrees that the Jews were told not to do a Brit Milah, so the Jews used to light a candle to tell people there was a boy born in this house, we're going to do circumcision. That was the code to tell other Jews, this is where there's going to be Brit Milah. You walked by day by a Jewish home and you saw a candle lit outside the home, you knew there was a sign there for the Jews. So it says they accepted to light candles. Doesn't say more than that. To celebrate the victory. So maybe the candle, which was during a time of defeat, the sign of holding on to the covenant, now became the sign of victory. Or the way we say, we're celebrating the miracle that happened to us then. We don't eulogize on these days. We don't decree any fast day on this day. If a person took on a vow from before Hanukkah, so then he'll have to pay up his vow and pray for what he's done. But they didn't declare that these days should be days where you're not allowed to work. They didn't make it like a Shabbos or Yom Tov. And from that point onward, the Greek Empire lost its reputation. The Greeks did not take over Israel again, but rather the Hasmoneans took over the throne. And their descendants took over the throne until the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed 206 years. Now, if this is part of the original text, then that means that this was written post-Second Temple, right? Because they're writing how many years passed. We quoted initially, there are commentaries that say this was written by Shammai. If this was written by Shammai, then that was only 100 years after the story of the Hasmoneans, because Shammai was 100 years before the destruction of the Second Beit HaMikdash. Unless they added, right. Unless this is in a later edition, these last verses. Therefore, the Jews, from that day onward, we hold on to these days throughout our exile. We declare these as days of happiness and festivities and having festive meals. So that sounds like we do celebrate by eating good food on Hanukkah. We don't rule that way. We rule that if we're celebrating with good food, it's because we're going back to the Hanukkah of celebrating the building of the tabernacle. It's a different celebration. We hold that because of Hanukkah itself, of the story of the Hasmoneans, we would not eat and drink. Whatever we're eating and drinking is for a different reason. But here it says, in this Medrash it says, that they are days for festivities and good meals. 8 days from the 25th of the month of Kislev. And finally, the final sentence, v'adolam lo yosur mehem. These days would remain with the Jews forever. The Kohanim, the Levites, and the wise men in the Beit HaMikdash, they accepted it upon themselves as an eternal celebration for the Jewish people forever. So that's the conclusion of Megillat Antiochus. Now,